Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great to be back. Okay, class number four. So I gave you the sheets. The sheets have most of the material that we had on last week, but I added a whole bunch of things, so we're going to be using the new one today. Let's start with a Purim thought. You know, when you're holding in something, like we're holding now in Shabbos, it's always great to be holding in Shabbos. You notice different things about things that you're very familiar with. So, for example, in the Purim story, we fight two wars. There's like a war in the entirety of the 127 Medinas of Achashverosh, and then you have in Shushan itself. Both of the times, the Megillah states explicitly that they fought on a certain day and won, and then the following day, v'noach, they rested. That's the language the Megillah uses, v'noach. So in the regular Medinas, it was v'shlosho asar l'chodesh adar, they fought, v'noach be'arba asar bo. And then in Shushan, the Megillah uses the same language, that they fought on arba asar yom, v'noach be'chamish asar bo. So which day would be appropriate if you were a nation celebrating victory of in which you were attempted to have been annihilated and you were victorious? Which day would you create as the day of celebration? The day that you won the war or the day that you went to sleep and rested? I think countries would choose the day that they won. That's the display of power. That's the display of might. We were victorious. We won. That's the day. But that's not what we do. Which day do we celebrate? The day that we fought or the day that we rested? Noach. Right? V'noach. Right? We're going to see that word, vayanach, bayom ha-shvi'i, as we spoke about this whole idea of vayechulu, vayechal. In the stopping of the creation is the testimony to the Creator. The fact that I can control when we start and when we stop. And so you see this theme of when we rested is the day that we celebrate Purim, not the day that we fight. We do Tainis Esther in a regular year. This year, of course, Shabbos was early. But normally we fast on the day of the war, and we celebrate on the day that we rested. And the absence of the fighting, that's really where people of, we want, there's a lot about the connection to Shabbos, is the idea that we celebrate the resting, not the fighting. But that jumped out at me this particular year. On that theme, today we're going to talk about the Mun. We can ask a similar question about the Mun. This is an interesting question. I don't know if I call it a question or just a ha'ara, an insight. But we all know the Mun is one of the most ubiquitous parts of our Shabbos. We, of course, have Lecha Mishnah. Everybody knows. Why do we have two challah rolls? That's the first question anybody who's new to a Shabbos table. Like, why are there two challah rolls? And whenever we sit down to eat. And we, of course, know why are there two challah rolls? Lecha Mishnah. What do you mean Lecha Mishnah? Why? What's it for?
Tablets.
Not the tablets.
The double
mun. So if you needed to explain it to somebody, how would you explain it? What would you say?
Double portion.
Double mun
on Friday.
Double portion on Friday. And therefore no mun fell on Shabbos. So we have a double portion. And you said it's a funny question. When do we actually do the double portion?
On the day we got nothing.
Correct. Wouldn't it have made more sense? We should have had a Friday, as if there wasn't enough to do on Friday. We should have some form of a double portion on Friday. That's when the double portion fell. No, that's not what we do. On Friday night, once it starts to be Shabbos, when there is no mun to be found, then we do a double portion to commemorate that which happened the day before. On Friday morning, there was a double portion. And so Shabbos lunch, again, we have Lecha Mishnah to show there was a double portion. So again, it's not like a real question, but it's like a funny thing. It like adds into the theme of Shabbos. When it stopped is when we're going to commemorate the fact that there had been mun. Not when it was. We're not just like on the war, when we stop fighting, when Shvi'i comes, when the Yom HaShvi'i, we stop creating, we make Shabbos, and the mun is going to fit into this. Let's talk about the mun. We have a lot to do about with the mun. This is really one of the most fundamental elements, the expression of Shabbos. As we started last week, this is the Jewish people's first experience with Shabbos. We know Shabbos Bereishis, but then that doesn't appear again, explicitly anyway, at least in the Torah. We get through Kriyas Yamsuf, 3 days we travel and there's no water, everybody is dying of thirst, and Hashem shows them Mara. They throw it's bitter water, and then the water turns. That's where our story picks up. We started this, where we're going to go back in, just so you should get a sense of what's going on in your sheet. You'll see the main series of psukim we're going to be studying today is 30 psukim. It's a long parsha in source number 17. Is the parsha of the man. We're going to try to go through it as quickly as we can. Source 18 are about 7 or 8, flipping over to the next page, important Rashis that we will try to cover as many as we can, and then we'll get to we'll try to get to some other sources that tie in. Like, what do we learn from this whole parsha of the man? Here we go. We'll try to do this as smoothly and quickly as we can. Vayisu me'ilim pasuk aleph. We're going to start from the top of source 17. They travel from Elim. This is right after they had gotten the bitter water. It's 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. Vayavo kol adas b'nei Yisrael midbar sin asher ben Elim uven Sinai b'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh hasheni letzei sami yaretz Mitzrayim. So we have now arrived after Mara, after Kriyas Yamsuf. They arrive in Ben Sinai ben Elim, and the Torah tells us when they got, what's the date that they arrive in this new place in Midbar Sin? 15th day of which month? The second month of Iyar. So we're exactly a month after Pesach. Now this date is significant. What's the significance of this date? Pesach Sheni. It's not yet Pesach Sheni. That won't come into existence until a year later, when we discover that what about the person who can't do the Korban Pesach, but the date is significant in that it is Pesach Sheni. Rav Hirsch points out, I didn't photocopy it for you. Rav Hirsch points out that the date that this 15th, the concept of the 15th is a significant day. It's going to become, of course, Pesach Sheni. In his language, just to quote you one language, that it was now, what we were about to experience is not a breaking of external chains. The external chains were broken when we left Mitzrayim a month prior, on the 15th of Nisan. Now it was a matter of freeing the souls and the minds from the binding chains of the worry of providing the daily sustenance. There's going to be, in Rav Hirsch's poetic language, we're going to take this through this entire parsha. Mitzrayim was freeing us from the shackles of an actual servitude. There was a taskmaster on top of us, forcing us to live in a certain way. And now we're going to shift into this 15th, this Pesach Sheni, into this new parsha. There's another chain that shackles mankind and prevents him, her, from accomplishing what they really need to accomplish. And what's that other chain that shackles us down? That's the worry, the constant worry of simple survival. Now, we are blessed to live in an era and a country in which simple survival, but the worry of Parnassa, whether it's I'm actually going to die of starvation, which a significant portion of the world worries literally about, will they survive to the next day? But the worry of Parnassa, whatever it is, even in a place in which we're blessed that we have food in our refrigerators, but the worry of Parnassa is a massive one, and it's a binding chain in Bravush's poetic language. And therefore, the creation of Shabbos is going to be tied into the Parsha of the Man. What we're about to study, this next 30 Psukim Parsha, has a completely separate yet completely intertwined ideas that are fundamental. The Torah spends a long time on this parsha. 30 psukim is a long time. It's a significant parsha. The man is a parsha unto itself of Parnassa, how Hashem is going to provide for us. Intertwined into the man becomes Shabbos. Of I'm going to provide, and this is how I'm going to provide for Shabbos. And the two parshas are woven together, as we'll see, in which they cannot be separated, these two ideas. And as Rav Hirsch points out, it's no coincidence that we started on the 15th. It's on what we'll eventually call Pesach Sheni. It's a mini Pesach, and as a different type of chain that we're going to free ourselves from. One last line from Rav Hirsch. If it was the Pesach that built the Jewish homes up for God, meaning when we left Mitzrayim, we became Jewish homes through Pesach, it was Shabbos that will keep the Jewish home for God. So that Pesach created it, but Shabbos is going to keep it, and all of that is an introduction to the parasha that we're about to learn. Okay, let's keep going. Pasuk Beis, Vayilonu kol adas b'nei Yisrael al Moshe v'al Aharon b'amidbar. Okay, a couple of important points. Vayilonu, which means they complained. We're going to have a lot of complaints. The Jewish people are complainers. We come by it honestly that we are kvetchers. But what strikes you in this pasuk? Vayilonu. Then after that word, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. What does that say to you? Sometimes, as we're going to see, there's a concept we say that Vayetze'u Anashim, men went out to collect. How many men went out to collect on Shabbos when they weren't supposed to? We're going to see Chazal learn it was only two. Even without that, you'd say a group. Okay, sometimes you have instances, Cheta Egel. How many Jews, after all, were involved in the Cheta Egel? Torah tells us. How many died? 3,000. 3,000 has 600,000. So it's not a massive number. It was a big event. But what happens when you get a complaint and the Torah says, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. This complaining wasn't, there were a few kvetches who were like, I don't want to go to the party. No. It was Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Come, and who do they come to? Yes.
Is the same thing as respite.
To sleep. Lan, to lan. Interesting, very good. As an introduction to our parsha. Very good, nice. I wonder if there is an etymological connection to that as well, but I'm not sure. So they come to Moshe and to Aharon, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Says Rav Hirsch, why is this? This is also significant that it's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Hashem has created a circumstance. What are they about to complain about? We already know the story, so we could sort of go back and forth even though we haven't learned. What are they going to complain about? Food. Food. Is this a worthy or unworthy, appropriate or inappropriate complaint? Now they're going to, we're not going to spend much time on this because it's not our topic. They're going to complain about two things. They're going to complain about meat and about bread. And Rashi's going to distinguish. Meat. Come on, you're traveling in a desert. You don't have meat for a few days. You're coming out of Mitzrayim. That's an inappropriate complaint. But bread?
Meat also complains.
100%, right? So Rashi's going to point out, like, that's inappropriate. Like, when you get your bowl of chillin' and there's no meat in it, like, come on, you can handle that. But, like, I don't have lunch, and I don't know where it's coming tomorrow, and I have kids, that's appropriate. So who complains when they're hungry? Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Appropriate? Yes. Hashem created a circumstance in which every single person said, I can't, my most basic need, I don't have. How am I supposed to do this? In the language, again, just because it's so poetic, the language of Rav Hirsch, freedom from the mountainous pressure of hunger. The threatening specter of hunger and famine for one's wife and one's children, you can't do anything. It is arresting. It stops any other accomplishment of the human being when you're concerned with your basic stuff. You know, we don't need, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Pasha, I can't eat. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Says the Refersh, without this conviction, meaning of knowing that Hashem is going to take care of me, man will feel alone with his own limited powers, fettered to the yoke of the effort of ensuing the necessities of life for himself and his dependents. I can't, that's all I'm involved in. And then there is no limit to this worry. There's no limit. Person who's hungry, there's no limit. And it's not just in the wilderness. You could live in a civilized society. And the worry, we'll leave one more line and then I should give this to you. Maybe next week I'll have it photocopied for you. Can make man believe that he must secure and protect not only tomorrow, but the next day, the whole of his future, the future of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. There's no end. I don't have enough until, not just I'm okay, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And he will compete with ruthlessness for himself and his dependents for a portion of the wealth of the world, and there is no space or time left for anything else. So Hashem took us out in the Midbar and said, the first thing that you need to know, right away, I'm going to take care of your sustenance needs. Because if you're worried about that, you can't possibly serve me and accomplish what I need from you in life if your major concern is this anxiety of preparation. Okay, let's keep going. Says Pasuk. Yeah.
But is that what he's saying? Or also maybe like a subliminal message and why it's tied into Shabbos is like, you need to focus on your emunah in me.
We're going to get there. We're going to, oh, yes, all of that tied in. 100%. 100%. Yes, 100%. 100%. The Pasukim, Vayomer Aleihem Bnei Yisrael, Milu, Mi Yitein Musayna B'Yad Hashem, Eretz, we should have died, Hashem should have killed us in Mitzrayim. We remember the meat and the wonderful bread we had there. Why did you take us here into this desert to kill us all, Bira'av? Yeah, and Hashem says, yes, in the desert. That's why I need to take you in the desert, because where else am I going to train you to understand that I am actually going to provide for you? It has to be, you have nothing else. But anyway, that's their complaint. Vayomer Hashem. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinini mamtir lochem lechem min hashamayim. Rav Hirsch points out in the language of hinini was like, this was the plan. Like, it wasn't like, oh no, what am I going to do? The people are complaining about, yes, I took you into a desert where there is no food. I waited until you all said we're going to die. And now watch what's going to happen. Which, by the way, is a theme we find many, many times. Like, right? It's at the end when you think there's no hope. For those watching the news, which is every one of us, and you're like, it's getting worse. It gets worse. Yes, there's like a pattern in Jewish history. And it's a horrible thing to have to like, oh no, does this have to get worse before it gets better? But it's, there's this, the Chazal described the final geula is going to be when it's going to be of such proportions that it will drown Mitzrayim. You'll be like, ah, Mitzrayim was nothing. And we're like headed to a place where the isolation that has happened in the last 6 months is astounding, astounding. The world, whatever. We're losing that one. Anyway, it was when the people were like, there's no hope. We're in a desert. Nothing can save us. Nothing can help us. We're all going to die. Now Hashem says, you didn't think that bread can fall from heaven. You didn't realize that. We're so used to this idea. Bread doesn't fall from the heavens. The people had never seen. It wasn't imaginable. And this is so important. We're going to focus on this so many times because everything, again, the Mun and Shabbos are intertwined. The solution to the people's problem, when they said, we're going to die, there is absolutely no logical solution to our problem. And the answer was, yep, that's right. There is absolutely no logical solution to your problem. Food is going to fall from the heavens. That wasn't in the playbook. That's not an option. That's how we lived, because the training ground of Klal Yisrael was, yes, when there is no option that you can think of and that exists in your normal life, don't worry about it. Just because you haven't thought of it doesn't mean it's not possible. So Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to be mamtir lechem, I'm going to rain down lechem in Hashemayim.
Can I say something quickly? Can I say something?
Yeah.
Just that word, hinani, like when Hashem was saying that was my plan all along, just going back to the emunah idea. When Avram, like, Avram's tested with the biggest test of the Muna, and Hashem says, Avram, and he says,
Hineni. Yes, the Hineni. This is the Hineni, Hineni. Yes, 100%. We find that word in here. Okay, here we go. So, Vilak tu dvar yom biyomo. So, Vyatzaha, the people are going to go out. I'm going to rain lechem down from Shemayim. Vilak tu dvar yom biyomo. Says Rashi, what does it mean, dvar yom biyomo? If you go to source 18, to second in Pasuk Dal, dvar yom biyomo. Sorech achilos yom, yulketu biyomo. You can gather the need for that day every day. Velo hayom letzorech machar. But you cannot collect today. You're going to go out and find man, heaven, amazing, I have it. You know what? Let me just pocket a few pieces for tomorrow. From the very first time Hashem introduces the concept to Moshe, again, he's not even speaking to Klal Yisrael yet. There's Hashem speaking to Moshe, Dvar Yom Biyomo. Each day you will collect that which you need for that day. Tomorrow, I'll take care of you tomorrow. Today you worry about today. Did I take care of you today? That's all that you need. Says Hashem again to Moshe, Leman Anasenu Hayelech B'Toyrasi Imlo. Now, this is explicit. Hashem says to Moshe, why would I create a system like this? Why am I creating a system that the man is going to fall from the heavens and you can collect every day only what you need that day? Leman anasen, which is a test. I'm going to test you whether or not you could follow into my... Says Rashi, what's the test? Third line down there in the Rashi. Leman anasenu hayalech b'tay rasim posuk dalet. Im yishmeru mitzvos hatluyos bo. Can you follow the mitzvos incumbent upon the man? A, shelo yosiru mimenu. You don't leave any over. Meaning you get what you get for dinner. You can't store for tomorrow. Velo yeitzu b'shabes lulkot. And you don't go on. We haven't... Hasn't even introduced. What's the test? The test is going to be, can you follow the rules of the month? Today for today? And when Shabbos comes, nothing on Shabbos. We're going to get back to these. Those are two separate things that are, again, intertwined. And the whole month is going to be a training ground. A training ground for this concept. V'hayah b'yom ha'shishi. Hashem, again, still speaking to Moshe. V'hayah b'yom ha'shishi. V'heichinu eis asher yaviyu. They'll prepare what they bring home that day on the sixth day. It's Friday. V'haya mishneh al asher yulketu yom. And it will be double. This is a very strange formulation. What would you have normally, if a child asked you, why do we have lecha mishneh? And how would you have explained it? The man fell, what words would you have used to explain to your child lecha mishneh?
Double portion.
What about a double portion?
On Friday.
Give me a verb. What happened on Friday? They collected a double portion. It fell a double portion. What language does the Torah use here when Hashem introduces it to Moshe? It will be on the sixth day. I'm reading Pasuk Hey, V'haya b'yom ha'shishi, V'heichinu eis asher yeviu. They will prepare that which they will bring home. How much did they bring home? What they were supposed to do. Yom yom. What they would normally collect. V'haya mishneh. And it will be double, says Rashi in Pasuk Hey. It will be double for today and for tomorrow. Next Rashi Mishneh, again still in Pasuk Hey. Al Shahayu Regilim Lilkot Yom Yom Shel Shayimos HaShavua. Double on what they're normally accustomed to collect every week. Says Rashi, Omer Ani Asher Yaviu Vayom, on the language of, on that which they will bring, and it will be double. La'achar Shiyaviu. After they bring it home, it will become Yimtzu Mishneh. B'medida, it will become double when they get home. Alasher yulketu v'yamodu. Whatever I normally collect, I collect. I come home on Friday morning, and what do I see on Friday morning? I thought I only bought one babka. I open up the bag from Gourmet Glad or from Bingo or from wherever you shop. Go say, I have two babkas. V'zehu liktu lechem mishneh. Bili katasa, when they collected, hayanimtsa lechem mishneh. And we're going to see that's the bracha of Shabbos, that babayis, it became, so to speak, double. We'll get, the Rashi is going to come back to this theme later as well. This is all Hashem speaking to Moshe. The people complain. Hashem says, I'm going to rain down food from heaven. They'll collect every day. And it will be on Friday. When they get home, they'll see it will be double. Hashem does not say, what does he not say in this? Correct. In other words, he doesn't say it's not going to fall on Shabbos. He said it in the other way. When they get home on Friday, they're going to find a double portion. That's what Hashem tells Moshe so far. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Moshe el ve'aron el kol adah el kol b'nei Yisrael. So now Moshe and Aaron have to convey this message to the people. And they say it as follows. Tonight you're going to recognize it was Hashem. He's going to prove it once more to you that Hashem is taking you out of Mitzrayim. In the morning, you're going to see not just that, know that Hashem took you out, you're going to see the kvod Hashem, that he heard your complaints. And what are we? Nachnuma, why are you complaining to us? That's not for our topic, so we're just going to move right through this. What's the morning and the night? The next pasuk. At night, you're going to get basar le'echol. And so every night the slav is going to come. That's where the meat is going to fly into the camp. The lechem baboker lesova. And in the morning is when you're going to get the bread in the form of the man. Bishma Hashem es tulunosechem. Hashem has heard your complaints. V'nachnuma. And what are we? Lo alenin tulunosechem. You're not complaining to us. This is really a complaint against Hashem. Okay, so Moshe and Aaron tell them they're going to get, again, they complained about two things, the meat and the bread. So at night you're going to get meat. In the morning you're going to get your bread. Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, and then Moshe now speaking specifically to Aharon. Emor el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, kirvu lefnei Hashem. Come close, Hashem has heard your complaints. Vayhi kidaber Aharon el kol adas b'nei Yisrael, vayinu l'mibar, and Hashem's presence appears. Okay, we have so much to do, we're not going to focus on that part of the story. Pasuk Yid Aleph, let's keep moving. Vayhi daber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. Now Hashem speaks again to Moshe. What do the people know so far? That's it. All they know nothing more other than Hashem has heard their complaints. There's going to be meat at night and bread in the morning. Rashi tells us that was done again because the meat was inappropriate, so they got it at an inappropriate time. The bread, which was an appropriate request, they get it at an appropriate time in the morning.
What is the reason that it's Erev Yedatem Kishem Otsiat Ganeretz Mitzrayim over the meat, and then Boker Eitem at Kavod Hashem?
I think that also touches on this idea, meaning the meat was inappropriate, so it's going to come, and you're going to know that Hashem took you out through the miraculous way in which it comes. But when the man comes, it's, the whole thing about the man is going to be miraculous, every aspect of it, and so you're going to see Hashem's presence more in the way the man falls than the way that the meat with the birds flew in. A miracle, yes. Type of miracle like man, no. I think that's the difference in that.
Did the birds have to be caught and slapped?
Yeah, much more work.
This is whatever you wanted it to taste like.
Yeah.
If you want a hot dog, it tastes like a hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah, meaning that's not in the psukim. That's you know one of the most famous chazals that are not in the psukim. If you know, The man was a qualitatively different type of experience than the meat coming in. Yeah, 100%. Okay, Vayter. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. Now again, Hashem is speaking to Moshe. Shamati Yisroel b'nei. I heard their complaints. Daber alem lemor bein habayim tochlu basar. Again, at night you're going to have meat. Uvaboker tisbu lachem. You'll be satiated with bread. V'idatem keni Hashem elokechem. Vayiba erev. And then the first night comes. Vata'al haslav, and the slav, these birds, came in and descended upon the camps. Vata'chasa samachanen, it covered the camp. Uvaboker haisa shechvas hatal, saviv lamachanen. In the morning, you were going to have this covering of dew around the camp. Rashi points out on regarding the dew in Pasuk Yud Gimel, hatal shechev al haman. The tal descended upon, on top of the man. Rashi says, Uvamokom Acher, in another place in Sefer Bamidbar, it says it the other way around. Uvaredes Hatal, that first the Tal was Yored Al Ha'aretz, V'Haman Yored Alav, and then, so there was Tal on the ground, and then the Man, and then the Tal on top, and therefore, that's exactly what it was. Harer Kemunach, like the Man was ensconced, Tal underneath, and Tal above, and they was, so to speak, protected in a very practical way from the sand of the desert underneath and from the blowing sands above. And so the man was protected by the two layers of the dew, which in halacha manifests itself also. What do we do because of this? Correct. You always have to have a covering underneath. You don't put the challah directly on the table. Most of us anyway have some type of challah board or something on a plate, and you have to have some type of covering on top. Many people would say the main reason why we cover the challah, of course, is because not to embarrass the wine, which is also a halachic principle that if you have wine and bread, you would have normally made the bracha on the bread first. So here we're making a bracha on the wine first. But that's not enough really just to cover it because I don't want the bread right now. I want the kiddush first. That order in brachos is the order would go if I want two things. But I don't want two things. I want wine and then I want bread. But anyway, the main reason why we actually cover the challah is because of this. Because there is a layer of tal underneath and a layer of tal above. And we are recreating as many times as we can. We say this idea, recreating the concept of the man. Okay, Vayter, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vata'al shechvas ha'tal, and then when the covering of the tal evaporated, when the dew evaporated, v'hine, al penei amidbar, on the face of the desert, dak mechuspas, dak kachpor al hearts, there was this, difficult to translate phrase. I'll give you a refreshed translation of this. When the dew had risen upon the surface of the wilderness, there was something fine, completely without husk, fine as the hoarfrost on the ground. Okay, whatever that exactly is. They saw the mun there when the upper level of the dew melted away. Okay, let's read now Bnei Yisrael's reaction. So this is the first morning in which they wake up, and there's dew, and like, okay, so there's dew. And then when the dew evaporated, vihine, what did they see? They saw this dak michus pas, this thin food there. Pasuk tezvav, vayiru Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people saw it. Vayomeru ish el achiv, manhu. So each person says to his friend, it's food. It's man. I don't know what it is, but it's some type of food. Kilo yadu umau. They didn't know what else it was other than to call it man. Vayomer Moshe lehem, hu halechem asher nasan Hashem lachem liachla. I told you last night, Moshe says, what was going to happen? You were going to get meat at night and bread in the morning. So what did the people think was going to happen? There was going to be some Arab caravan that was going to come with, selling bread. You know, those round bagels they used to sell, right? That's what they assumed. So they wake up in the morning, and instead, what do they find? There's dew, and then the dew evaporates, and there's like some kind of food there. So they say, manhu, either it's a question or it's a statement of some type of food. And Moshe then inserts himself and says, this that came out of nowhere. It fell from the heavens. Hu asher, hu halechem, asher nasan Hashem lochem liachla. This is the bread that I spoke to you about, that Hashem has given you to eat. Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. And now let me tell you the rules, Moshe says. Ze, this is what Hashem has commanded. Liktu mimenu ish lefi ochlo. Omir la gulgoles. Each person can gather from this kefi ochlo, according to basically your needs to eat, one omer per head, misfar nafsho sechem, according to the numbers of people in your household. So if you have four, you'll take four omers. If you have six in your house, you'll take six. Ish la asher be'ohalo tikachu. Each person takes according to what it is that they need. That's the simple instruction. That's all they're told. They see the man. Go out and collect it according to the needs of what it is that you have and what you need. So Bnei Yisrael did that, and they gathered. Now, how would you translate that? Hamarbe vehamam it. Hamarbe is those who collected a lot. And that's a strange phrase. What does that mean? The Jewish people went out and did it. Those who collected a lot. And those who collected a little. Rashi explains on the bottom of your page, Yud Zayin. Yeshalaktu harbe, v'yeshalaktu ma'at. They were those who collected a little more than what they were told to do. Remember, we're in the desert, we're starving, we have no source of food. And Moshe says, I'm going to give you bread. They go out, and there's bread everywhere. Do you know that this is going to happen tomorrow yet? Do the Jewish people know that this is going to happen tomorrow? They have not been told. And Moshe tells them, collect what you need. So there were those who collected more than what they needed, and there were those who collected less. The kasha I have on those who collected less, I don't understand that. Those who collected more, I understand what they were thinking. That makes a lot of sense to me. What happened, Rashi says, to the hamarbe, the hamam it, kishebo'u leveisam, when they arrived in their homes, madadu ba'omer, ish ish ma shelaktu. Everybody found, how much did they have? Exactly an omer. I didn't take them. I took a little bit less. I have an omer. I thought I snuck in a few extra pieces for tomorrow. What did you find in your home when you collect it? You had exactly an omer. Umatsu shahamar bel little coat. So it turns out those who collected too much, lo he'edif al omer la gulgolos asher, they did not have any extra than the exact omer per person in their tent. Vahamamit little coat. And those who took too little, lo matzo chaser, they were not lacking anything. Vizehu neis godol shenaase bo. This phrase, hamar be vahamamit, you got home and you had exactly what it is that you needed. Viter, yud ches.
Speak to the fact that it was in
Zion. We're going to get to a lot of the Nisayans. We're going to get there. Number one, Rav Hirsch points out, just to make one more comment in Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch points out, we just found out that there was a Okay, I'll get to it in a second. Let's keep going. Vayamodu va'omer, they measured, Pasuk Yudches, Vayamodu va'omer, v'lo he'edif hamarbeh ve'hamamid lo hechzir, he who collected too much did not have extra, he who collected too little was not lacking, ish lefi achlo lakadu, each person according to their needs collected. Vayomer Moshe aleihem, ish al yoser mimenu ad voker. Now we get a new command. After we've arrived home and we have what we need, each person has exactly what they need, Moshe gives them another command. What would you be tempted to do if you were there in the desert and somehow you tried to sneak in 4 extra pieces, and when you measured it out, turns out you have exactly what you need for the day? Okay, what would you be tempted to do? Squirrel some away. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a long, big desert. I don't know how long this is going to take. I'll eat a little bit less than what I need today, and I'll have for tomorrow. It's a pretty basic, you know, process. Moshe gives a new command. You are not permitted to leave anything till the morning. Al yoser mimenu ad boker. Now, has Moshe told them that it's going to fall again tomorrow? I don't think so. But now he tells him you can't leave it. Pasuk Chaf, Velo Shamu El Moshe. What does the Torah tell us? Do the people listen to that? No. I mean, you can't leave it till the morning. Why would a person leave it till the morning? Because I'm worried about my food for tomorrow. Velo Shamu El Moshe. They did not leave it. They did not listen to Moshe. And they were men. Rashi points out it might have only been two, Nadav and Avihu, or Dasam and Aviram. Excuse me. Vayasiru anashim imenu ad boker. What happened? Vayarum tolaim vayivosh. And they became wormy. They melted away. Vayiktsof aleihem Moshe. Moshe got angry at them. I told you not to leave it to the morning, and they did. Now the Torah tells us, and this is now what happened every single morning. They would go out, and they would find this towel, and when the towel would evaporate, there would be the mun underneath, and each person could collect, ish kefi ochlo, each person according to what he needed. And then when the sun would rise, and there would be whatever would be extra from what each person collected, the sun would melt whatever leftover mun there was, and so you collected what you needed, and that's all it was. Okay, that was the process. That was the process that went on. Okay, now we get to Shabbos.
Why would there be leftover if each person took an
omer,
like, exactly?
So Hashem sent more than what they took, what they needed. There was extra, which they were not supposed to take, and then the extra would dissolve whatever was left there. But there was clearly, it seems like there were more mun fell than what they needed, omer per person, but they were told not to take more than what, like, it's there, but you just take what you need. I think that's part of this Nisan. It's there for the taking, but I want you to only take what you need, even though there's extra there, because that's all going to dissolve away. It's not for you. You just take what you need.
But they took what they needed, then how is there leftover for tomorrow?
Meaning that you could eat less than what you need. Meaning, in other words, there was leftover in the fields, more fell than what the people needed to collect, and there was this temptation of taking more. Don't take more than what you need. And then even what you brought home, if you didn't eat it all, if you either, because you weren't hungry that day, you were sick, you slept in, whatever the case may be, you tried to squirrel it away, whatever was left in the morning, if you didn't eat, it also melted away. Yeah.
Could you share it with somebody else?
No need.
Yeah, I mean, there was no need to, but I guess, whatever was not eaten by the morning would dissolve.
No, let's say my friend came over.
Yeah, I can share tea together, I guess. You know, I assume so, I don't know. I assume so, just because I don't have any reason not to. Okay, we got to go. Let's go to Shabbos. Let's get to Shabbos. Here we go. We got a lot to do. Vayibayom HaShishi. Okay, Friday rolls around. Rashi told us we didn't see it inside. This process began on a Sunday. The 15th of the month of year was on a Sunday that year. And now Friday rolls around. Vayibayom HaShishi. Loktu lechem mishneh. Shnei ha'omer lo echad. And they gathered up. Rashi says the same thing over here on the top of the next page. Luck to Lechem Mishneh. Kishimadidu, Rashi says on the top of the next one, Kishimadidu as likitasam be'ohaleyem matzu kiflayim. When they got home on Friday, have they been told anything about Friday yet? No one's been told anything. They gathered on Friday morning like they did every other morning. They've been doing it for a week already. When they got home, it turned into kiflayim. Shneho omer lo echad. We'll read the rest of the Rashi later. Back to the Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Again, from the top of the pasuk, Vayiba Yom Hashishi, Loktu Lechem Mishneh. They gathered a double portion. Shnei HaOmer Lo Echad. So now, what happened? Vayavo Kol Nisiei HaEda Vayagidu LeMoshe. All of the Nisiim came and told Moshe. How did? What's the problem? What do you think? Really, the Torah is like leaving out a step. What did each individual person in their tent do? Why did only the Nisiim come to Moshe? Clearly, all the people in their tents went to their Nasi, and they're like, what's going on? Every other morning I came home and I have an Omer. This morning, Friday morning, now I have double. And so all the Nasim started getting all the words from all the people. All the Nasim, the 12 Nasim, come to Moshe. Vayagidu le Moshe. We got a problem, Moshe. We don't know what's going on. Friday morning, and everybody's got a double portion. Vayomer aleihem. Moshe says to them in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Hu asher diber Hashem. This is what Hashem spoke about. Shabbason, it's a day of rest. Shabbos Kodesh LaHashem, it's a holy day to Hashem. Machar, Shabbos Kodesh Machar, tomorrow is going to be a holy day to Hashem. Eis asher tofu, efu, that which you want to bake today, go ahead and bake. Eis asher tovashlu basher, that which you want to cook, you can cook. Just gives some indication that they needed to prepare in some way the mun. The ace, kol ha'odef, and then everything that's extra, because now you have two portions, hanichu lachem l'mishmeres ad haboker. You're going to save it till the morning. Now, two very important points. What? It's basic. Pashup shah, what's going on here? So they come to Moshe, they're like, what's going on? And what does Moshe say? What did he say? This is what Hashem told me. This is hu asher diber Hashem. Has Moshe conveyed this to the people yet? Did Hashem convey this to Moshe?
Yes.
Where's the disconnect here? Moshe does not tell anyone what Hashem told him, that on Friday there was going to be a double portion. So that what happens on Friday is that everybody's tumulting in their tents. What in the world's going on? They speak to the neighbor. Did you get a double portion? I also got a double portion. They go to the Nesiim. What's happening? The Nesiim say, I don't know. Let me find out. All the Nasiim come to Moshe, and they say, Moshe, we have a problem. And Moshe says, oh yeah, this is exactly what Hashem said was going to happen. He told this to me on Sunday morning, that there was going to be a double portion on Friday, because tomorrow is a Shabbason, tomorrow is a day of rest, and you got a double portion, so you'll prepare whatever you want now, and you can leave it tomorrow. Normally, are you allowed to leave to the next day? No. Tomorrow morning you can leave. You can save over for it tomorrow morning. Rashi points out, Vayagidu LeMoshe, second Rashi in the top of the second side. Shohalu, Mahayomi Omayim. Everybody asked Moshe, what's going on? Umikan Yesh Lilmod. From here it's very clear. Sha'adayin Lohigid Lohem Moshe Parshas Shabbos. Moshe never told anyone about Shabbos. Hashem told to Moshe. Moshe never conveyed it. Ad shishalu mazos, until they asked him. And Amar lehem, who Hashem diber Hashem? And that's what Hashem, Moshe said, oh yeah, Hashem told me about this. Ulekach onsho akosuf. And the Pasuk punishes Moshe. She'amar lo, because when, we're going to read in a few minutes, when Hashem says, ad onama, how long are you going to rebel against me? Speaking about the Jewish people going out to collect on Shabbos. Hello, Hotzi Minah. He didn't take Moshe out of the fray. How long are you going to rebel against me, included Moshe? Rashi points out Moshe is punished because he did not convey that which he needed to convey about Shabbos. So when Hashem later says about the people, why are you rebelling against me? He includes in the you, includes Moshe. That leaves us with a very important question. What's the question? What was he thinking? Rashi, he gets punished for it even. He fell on his sword for this. What was the thinking? I want to tell you the most amazing Rashbam. Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. Source 19. Rashbam says, Vayomer lehem, hu asher diber Hashem. Miyom Rishon, this is what Hashem told me already on Sunday. Va'ani lo higadati lachem. And I didn't tell you about it. Umoshe niskavein, what was Moshe's intention? Sheyihiyu temeim. Kishayimtzu mishneh. They should, what does temeim mean?
Surprised.
Surprised, in wonderment, in awe. Lehodiyo lehem atak vodo shol yom ha-shabbos. This is brilliant. If Moshe would have told him on Sunday what's going to happen on Friday, what would happen on Friday morning?
Big deal.
Yeah, here's that double portion Moshe told us about. What happened now? And Moshe's punished for this. But what did he create? There's a tumult. What's going on? It's Friday morning. Why is there a double portion? Did you get? I don't know what's happening. Go figure it out. They run through their Nasi. The Nasi's like, I don't know. And then the Nasi calls his buddy, the other Nasi. Is your tribe dealing with it? Yeah, my tribe also. What about the Reuven, Shimon, even Yehuda and Zvulun too? What's going on? I don't know. We got to speak to Moshe. I don't know. Yeah, y'all go to Moshe. Moshe says, Shabbos. Shabbos. And now what happens? The whole, now follow the chain backwards. Right? Everyone's like, it's Shabbos, Shabbos, it's Shabbos, it's Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. It's a double portion. Throughout the whole, like, just picture the wave going through the camp. Shabbos. Tomorrow's going to be. Do the Jewish people know about Shabbos yet? Now, this isn't in explicit in the Pasuk, the answer is no. We have not yet heard since the seventh day of creation until now. Shabbos has not been mentioned. This is their first experience with it. Now, in Chazal, when they got to Mara, the pasuk says, Sham Sam Lo Choku Mishpat. Chazal understand that they were taught about Shabbos in Mara a few days before. So, honestly, you have to explain. In Psukim, this is their first experience with Shabbos. Mun falls, that's their source of sustenance, and it doesn't fall on Shabbos. It falls twice on Friday, and in a miraculous way, they find, not that they collected twice, they find a double portion. Nobody knows what's going on. And Moshe is punished, but he wants to create Shabbos. The whole camp is talking about Shabbos. Let's just finish the psukim. I have so much more to do in so little time.
What was his punishment?
He was included in when Hashem says, "How long are you going to rebel against me?" He was included. He was included in that. Pasuk Chav Dal is where we left off. You're allowed to leave it until the morning. Vayanichu also out of Boker. The people left it till the morning. Kasher tziva Moshe velo hivish. The rimah lo haizah, but did not melt. There was no worms. Vayomer Moshe chluhu ayom. You can eat it today. This again is Friday. He's saying, eat it. This is the next morning. Excuse me, Shabbat. Eat it today. Ki Shabbos hayom la Hashem. Today is a Shabbos. Hayom lo timtzu basadeh. You will not find it in the fields. It's not going to fall. Friday, it's going to fall twice. That in that pasuk, by the way, Chafei, how many times does it say the word Hayom? Three times. Echlu Hayom. Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem. Hayom. From here, Chazal derived the mitzvah to have three meals on Shabbos. We're going to get back to that, Mirz Hashem, in the future. Sheish Yemim Til Ketu. 6 days, Pasuk Chavot. 6 days, you'll gather it up. Uvayom Ashvi'i Shabbos Lo Yiyeh Bo. And then what happens on that Shabbos, that first Shabbos in the desert? Not the first Shabbos. First time they've been told about Shabbos. Yetzu'u min ha'am lil kot. There were people who went out looking. Velo matza'u. But they did not find. And on that, Hashem becomes angry. Vayom Hashem Moshe ad anama antem lishmor mitzvosai v'sorosai. How long will you continue to rebel, not to observe my mitzvos? I told you. Ru'u. I gave you Shabbos al Kain, who knows him, yom hashishi lachem yom mayim. I gave you a double portion on the sixth day. Shvuish tachtav al yetzei shmim komo. Do not leave your place on Shabbos. Vayishpesu ha'om bayom hashvi. And here we get that. The parsha concludes. The people observed the seventh day. Okay, there is so much to talk about. Okay, that's the parsha. This introduction within mun, within our sustenance, to the double parsha of Friday. Why, first of all, The Gemara asks, why did Hashem do it in such a way that the man fell once a day? Wouldn't it have been so much easier if it fell once a week? Or if it fell once a year? You gather it up what you need, you put it away. Okay, Hashem provides. Hashem provides. But every day, every day. So the Gemara very famously says, sure, that'd be a great idea, but I'll tell you a story. There was once a king, and the king had a son who he wanted to sustain and provide for. So the king would say, once a year you'll come on your birthday, and I'll write you out a check. You'll get whatever the government allowances are that I can give you a gift without being taxed. You'll come, I'll write you out the check, you'll put it away, you'll have what you need. How many times a year did the king see his son?
Once
a year. So the king said, you know what, I don't like this idea. I'm going to give you every day $150. How many days did the king see his son? Every day. He came to collect his daily allowance. So the Gemara says, if the Baruch Hashem dropped in a check, you know, whatever would be allowed once a year, that would be great. And once a year, we would daven with a lot of kavana, and we would be very grateful, and we would say, thank you very much. That's not the way that he wants us to have a dynamic relationship with him. So every day, you're going to get the man because you need it every day. I've said in shul many times, all pitiyur, because it's right where it needs to be. It's been said, I can't remember who said this first. It might have been Rav Moshe Weinberger, where I first heard it. I don't know if he was quoting it from someone else or if it was his. But a Jew does his best business while he davens, and his best davening while he's doing his business. You know, Shimon Esrei, you think, I got to take care of this today, and I got to take care of that, I got to close this deal and close that deal, and I think I'm done. And then when he's doing the deals, like, Ribono Shalom, please let this go through. Ribono Shalom, I need him to sign. Ribono. So, like, you know, in his business, Shimon Esrei is doing his best business. And when he's doing his business, he's doing his best davening. So every day, the month falls, you need to worry about your sustenance every day. But, well, let's just conclude with what we started with. So it's an interesting thing that the month, on the day that it didn't fall, is the day that we commemorate it. We do a double portion, not on Friday, we do a double portion on Shabbos to remember. So there are a couple of, I'm going to start with this tomorrow, I'm going to run in. I'm not going to do judges justice, and it's not fair not to do it justice, but we're out of time. Oh, gosh. You tell me, I don't want to do 1 minute. Okay, so the Sefer, source 22, the Sefer Pinini Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed writes very beautifully on this idea. So why is it that we commemorate the man on Shabbos? What does this take with us into our week? Ma bracha. He asks the question as follows: What's the big bracha? At the end of the day, how much man fell? Source 22. Excuse me. How much man fell? So for Shabbos was the regular portion. Friday was regular. It just happened to fall twice. So do we get more on Shabbos?
No.
It's the same amount. It just fell on Friday instead of on Shabbos. Like, okay. So, like, you know, it's like, it's really not a big bracha in the sense of, like, remember how Rashi learned Vayivarech, Vayikadesh. Like, it's the same amount. It just was rearranged as to when it fell. So he writes in the second line, Atshuva, Shibiyom Ashvi'i, Husra Mehem Hadaiga. We spoke about this, right? How did we first begin this whole parsha? The greatest shackle on mankind
is
worry. What's going to be? Every day in the midbar, every single day, when you went to sleep at night, what was in your cupboard?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Every single night you went to sleep and you worried, will I have what to eat tomorrow? Will the Ribbono Shel Olam provide tomorrow like he did today? It was a 40-year training ground. Every night the cupboards were empty. We can't imagine such a thing. Going to sleep at night and you have nothing. Knowing that in the morning it's going to come. It's a daiga. It's a worry. It's the greatest worry mankind has. It propels mankind forward in a way that we've seen. It brings out the worst in mankind and some good things also. But for the first time in the desert, what happened on Friday night? What did the Jews have Friday night? A full cupboard. For the first time, you sat at your Shabbos table with your family, and you were like, I don't have a worry in the world. I have nothing. I have everything that I need. The only night that I do not have to worry about tomorrow is Friday night. You want to talk about a shena, a sleep that's restful. That's a qualitatively different meal sitting Friday night when you're eating what you have and you're not eating your last morsel. I have. This whole system in which it's creating a sense of emunah, that's the last source we're going to start with that in Mirtz Hashem next week, Every night I ate up my last bit on Thursday night, and Friday morning I have to make sure that I'm doing the right things, that it shows up. Friday night I eat, and I have food put away. I go to sleep, I have food put away. You talk about the ability of mankind to then say, hey, I have other things to focus on. Oh, Friday night, Shabbos gives me the opportunity to say, I run around worrying, providing I have kids, I have a wife, I have nothing to worry about. What do we do when we have nothing to worry about? We can focus, we can move up that pyramid of the hierarchy of needs. I don't have to worry about it. And so the Me'ein Olam Haba of Shabbos is take away every worry that you have in life. Imagine what we could accomplish. That's what Shabbos is creating. That's what it is. That's what the Mon trained us to be able to do. I got a double portion. Not because I'm getting more than it's the same portion, just fell on Friday. Yes, it fell on. You already have what you need. The rest of your life you're going to live with the Emunah day to day, day to day. The Gemara says the language, anyone who has what to eat today and is worried about tomorrow is Mikatanei Emunah. You have what you need today. Hashem will provide tomorrow also. But we're not like that. We are Mikatanei Emunah. We worry. Not on Friday. A double portion. Hashem will take care. Okay, there's another beautiful thought. We just ran out of time. We'll start with that Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. And then we have to cover the Mishkan, and we have to cover the Aseres HaDibros still. A lot to do. Okay, have a great day. I'm sorry for coming late.